morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording. And today we're recording episode 170, believe it or not, started 2.5 years ago, mid-2023, and we're about 170 episodes in, which means we've interviewed about 170 executives, decision makers, thought leaders from the industry and from adjacent industry, if you will, that influence the industry and in their technology, in their what they're working on, in their business, et cetera. I hope this podcast has contributed positively to the localization industry. From the comments I hear, it confirms that it is. And I really appreciate your listeners. I appreciate the guests that came on to the channel, the preparation they put in place, the contribution they make with their thoughts and ideas that they bring forward. And today I have the distinct pleasure and honor to have with me Dylan Hartman. Dylan, I thought he was going to join me from Australia, but he just informed me that he's now in Colorado, which is closer to me than waking him up in the middle of the night, Australia time, to do a podcast with me. Dylan, welcome to the channel. Appreciate it.
It is such a pleasure to be here, Robin, and thank you. If I were in Australia at the moment, it would be, let me check, just past 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay for you.
However, it is tomorrow. So it is tomorrow in Australia. And when we have to catch the plane from Brisbane over to the west coast of the United States, it ends up being the longest day of your life. So we left on Saturday last time, left at around 7:30 in the morning, arrived in the United States at 6 on the same day. And I thought, didn't I just fly for something like 16 hours or 17 hours? So yeah, it is a pleasure to be here today, Robin, and I thank you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. I was just interviewing somebody from Australia last week, and we were doing the interview like today, like right now, this time zone almost. And he told me all about, it was like Friday afternoon. He was already in the weekend and I'm on Thursday night. So he was telling me all about the weekend. Meanwhile, we just haven't hit the weekend yet on this side. Just to confirm what you just said about the time zone.
Now, it highlights the reality of our industry as well. We are truly a global industry and have to be present everywhere, every time, every day, every hour.
Now, I know you and I met before. I think we met briefly at the Canadian Language Association, Language Industry Association conference in Montreal last year, I believe. It was World Speak, I think it was, that yes. You attended. Or it was part of the gala thing that you just popped by and said hello to the folks.
Yeah. That was my first ever trip to Canada, actually. First ever trip to Montreal. The month prior to that, I had been part of a VC-backed delegation of Australian startups coming to visit the American tech scene. And a group of 8 of us hopped on a plane, went from Brisbane to San Francisco, visited Silicon Valley, visited Stanford University, got on a plane, went to Denver. And there was one of my advisors in the translation localization industry, Dieter Runji, said to me, Dylan, how could you be in Denver 45 minutes away of a place we call heaven for you? You bike, you run, go visit Boulder. So I got myself an Airbnb for a week there in Boulder. I rented a bicycle, and honestly, within a week, I was in love with that place. I couldn't have gone anywhere else. When I visited Seattle and Montreal soon thereafter, and it was a great trip to be back.
So is Boulder a permanent move for you? Is this where you're going to be now?
Ideally. So we were juggling between moving to Seattle or San Francisco. And honestly, as a new technology company, the costs are quite prohibitive. Seattle particularly, it has a very mature tech ecosystem and very high costs. And so we did, you know, a very responsible cost-benefit analysis, looked at the cost of living and the lifestyle quality in either of these places, and really took the cake. They have a strong startup ecosystem, a strong investor ecosystem, technology, and also Boulder has a long history within the tech and localization industry.
You know, it's interesting because you shifted from everybody gets into this technology in the language industry, start with a paintbrush of being a language industry, language company first and then technology after. It sounds to me like you're doing the flip. You're doing to position the company as a technology company, A, and then provides a bunch of services around the technology. We'll get to know the company in a second. But I want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I mean, we want to get to know you first. And everybody on this channel get this question to warm up the conversation, if you will. So the first question is, what is your story? What got you here?
I was a 15-year-old, how would I say, grade 11 student. My parents ended up getting a job working at an international school in Northern Thailand. All our family moved over there. I started going to this American international school. And lo and behold, I ended up making great friends with a lot of the Thai community. Within 6 months, Robin, I became fluent in Thai. I wanted to study Thai culture and language. Ended up studying between the Australian National University in Canberra and Mepha Luang University in Chiang Rai in Thailand. I did my bachelor's degree there. Then looking for a master's program, I ended up studying a Master of Applied Anthropology and Participatory Development through the Australian National University. I was really keen not to get into the language industry. I had been moonlighting as a freelance translator since graduating my bachelor's degree, but translation really never turned me on. You know, almost, I would say, 2 months before I graduated with my master's degree, there had been a shift in government from the left-wing government of Australia to a right-wing government in Australia. Believe it or not, the very first thing for them to cut as soon as they got to power was the foreign aid budget. And so anyone interested or involved in the aid or development sector basically lost their job. And there I was, a fresh graduate with no chance of doing anything but translation. And having that degree really boosted my credibility. So yeah, I started following translation.
You took, you know, the Thai to English translation quite seriously. You are certified by NATI, right? You still?
Yes. I somehow became a specialist in life sciences, translating for everywhere from Transperfect, Lionbridge, D, before they were acquired by SDL, which then became RWS, as well as top end digital languages. And so there aren't that many highly qualified Thai into English translators in the world. And so we were focusing 100% on that. When I returned to Australia, and I can tell you a little story about why I had to return, that's when I became certified in Australia, yeah.
So for the audience, so you know, and that's probably one of the more interesting things, how ideas get born and how ideas get developed. As a professional, it doesn't matter what your profession is, in this case, Dylan, in the language industry, you see an opportunity, see a problem, you try to solve it. And Dylan, while he was working as a translator, he saw an opportunity or saw a problem in terms of certified translation and the legwork it takes, the amount of checks and balances that needs to take put in place in order for you to achieve a certified translation. For example, for the audience who don't know or never probably had to deal with this, if you're trying to translate your passport, for instance, you need to scan that passport, OCR it, translate it, print it, take it to a certified translator to stamp it, then take it from the certified translator to the notary public to certify that the translator has done their work and they stamped it officially. By the time you do the round, I think you're dizzy by now, and you pretty much have give up on the idea of translating your passport. Dylan thought, this is too complicated, to say the least, it's too complicated, and he set out to fix the problem. And by fixing the problem, he decided to solve it by developing a company called AccuDocs. And we'll get to know a little bit about the idea of AccuDocs and what problem does it solve. From my perspective, what I just summarized, I probably did not do a good job in telling the world about what AccuDocs does. I'm sure the idea person will do a much better job than I did. I did. Just to get us started, like, what was the aha moment for you?
It goes back to me being a full-time translator, working as what you'd call a digital nomad based in Northern Thailand. I was very busy earning USD from companies all around the world based in Thailand, so living very comfortably. And you may or may not remember in 2016, there was the latest coup d'etat in Thailand. Now, I've lived through coups before. As a foreigner in
You know what, you should put that on your LinkedIn profile. I went through
last time I said that here in the United States, someone yelled out, "We're going through one right now." I've lived through coups before in Thailand, and as a foreigner, look, if you keep your mouth shut, if you keep your head down, it'll all blow over, and you know, they're not targeting foreigners whatsoever. But as soon as the military junta forcibly shut down the country's biggest gold mine, which was owned by an Australian company. That created one of the biggest international incidents for that military government. And it ended up being a $1 billion litigation between Kingsgate Mining and the Kingdom of Thailand. I got a phone call from one of the world's biggest mega agencies, and I never get a phone call from these guys, but they said, "Hey, Dylan, we've got 1 million words that we need your help on. We can't tell you anything about this project. We can't show you anything until you've left the country." And I thought, gosh, Robin, this must be big. So yeah, I said, sure, I'll go back to Australia for that. And it ended up being all of the background material that would support their case against the Kingdom of Thailand. Sadly, it was mostly environmental health impact assessments for people, community, civilians that were impacted by the effects of arsenic and cyanide poisoning. So it was very, very serious. But it was 1 million words, Robin. And when I got to Australia, I had the last opportunity to sit and do the accreditation exam with NAATI, the National Accreditation Authority, before they swapped from accreditation to certification. Now, when they swapped to certification, that would have required me to have done a translation degree or something along those lines. So for me to sit and do the test, it made perfect sense.
And so after that, the project that you changed country for, a million word, yes, I would. I'm with you on that one. It's a pretty large project. So did you deal with those small documents that for most agencies now, and I'm no longer working there, but when I worked for agencies before, it was a nuisance. It was, nobody wants to do them. Like a driver's license, are you kidding me? I'm not doing that. That's what the large agencies will say. Did you have to deal with that?
As a full-time professional translator, of course I would say no. No way. I don't have the time to stuff around with invoicing, stuff around with project management. Just for a single page, it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when I returned to Australia, became accredited and then certified with NAATI, I thought it was a way of boosting my credentials. I thought I could go from charging 16 cents a word to like 20 cents a word or something like that back in 2017. Well, it turns out that, okay, sure, I could do that. But what I never expected was that being certified meant my name, my phone number, my email address were on a public directory. And so every Thai in Australia who had a problem with their visa, who had to go see the doctor, who had to do something to do with the law or the courts would call my phone. And there I am trying to translate 150,000 words a month, and my phone is blowing up nonstop. And being a linguist, being an anthropologist, we have a certain empathy towards people who
you
are going
help.
Through crisis. And they're calling me up crying, saying, if I don't hand this in, they're going to cancel my visa, Dylan, please help. And other customers had raved about your services. And so I've got a reputation to uphold.
Good.
But it ended up costing me time. It ended up costing me money. And that aha moment that you asked about, it came when I realized, look, a lot of these documents that they need translated and certified can be easily templated. What if I created a template and sent it to the customers to pre-fill? That would save a lot of the time, right? When I started testing this out on a few customers, 90% came out back a mess, but there was still potential because some of them came out perfectly. So the template, it was the process that we followed. So what if we are to step them through word by word the required text that needed to be translated and give them an opportunity to enter that translation themselves? So we designed a step-by-step process where the platform will ask the customer to find your name, they'll circle their name, it'll show up in their source language with an empty box next to it for them to type that into English. And therein was the method we used to create the world's first self-service translation.
So you've been at it for 6.5 years. Did I get that correct?
It has gone through a couple of pivots or iterations, Robin. Going back to that first problem case, Acudox was designed first and foremost as a tool for freelancers. Freelancers in that exact same position as I described, you're overwhelmed with agency work and you keep on getting these individual customer requests. It turns out in the Australian industry, there were not very many translators as busy as me. I didn't realize that.
Probably the busiest in Australia.
everyone is doing that, you know, 1.2 to 1.5 million words a year. But what we had designed was a process that was incredibly fast and scalable. From a pain point experienced by every immigrant customer and every other translator myself. So it wasn't just a self-service translation process that we designed. It was they would upload the document, they would select the service, they would pay in advance, and the job would be automatically assigned to the translator. So as a freelancer, the first time you hear about it, the job, it's 95% complete. It's already been paid for and you haven't had to talk to the customer. Now, we launched in November 2019. That was exactly 3 months before COVID international border lockdowns. And you may or may not remember, but Australia was very strict with their lockdowns.
Yeah, Canada was too.
No one was coming in. But during that period, LSPs in Australia were still advertising B2B services. And so inevitably, they were attracting this overflow of B2C customers with a single page document. And it was still a headache for them. It took not much effort on our part to design a dashboard for LSPs to offer that same service, leveraging the translators, the freelancers we already had on the platform, utilizing the exact same payment process, but removing any need to request a quote. So all of the documents, all of the prices are completely transparent. Because everyone knows what to expect when a driver's license translation comes through, right? Or a birth certificate. So translators are happy to claim it for a fixed fee and deliver it immediately within the platform. So that is where we have seen all of our growth.
So Dylan, how did you solve for the, I'm not sure if it's part of the process, the legal part, the notarization part? Has that been solved, or is it that separate?
So that is separate. We are building an integration with some of the leading online notarization. But for most purposes, notarization is not actually required. In Australia, the legal component is a stamp being completed by a certified translator, similar to many places in Canada, as far as I understand. Here in the United States, for the United States Citizenship and Immigration Purposes, USCIS, notarization is optional as well.
It's not necessarily required.
No.
But in some jurisdiction, probably it is required. I tell you, one time I had to deal with this, and here I am, a general manager for the country, and this customer calls me up, says, they're doing a merger with another company. The company is based in Florida, and the company that they're buying is in Brazil. And they've got a contract. They want to take it from English to Portuguese or vice versa. I can't remember now. But that contract, the only way they accept it is a printed document stamped by the translator, notarized. And, you know, Toronto is a big city, and the translator happened to be in the Toronto area. If he wasn't in the Toronto area, I wouldn't have been able to help anybody. But I had to drive about an hour and a half to see the translator, knock on the door. I'd never been to any translator's houses before. And the translator had signed it and put the stamp on it. I witnessed right there that this is the translator's stamp. And then I had to go all the way down to only the notary public that I know. He wasn't in the neighborhood. I had to drive another hour to go see him. And then when I got there, he says, no, I can't do that. I said, you mean you can't notarize it? He said, no, I need to see the translator. How do I know this is the translator's signature? I said, I witnessed it. He said, no, I need to see the translator. Oh my God. By the time I had to go back and forth, I don't know how many times, I have no idea. Like when still there are some laws, my point is there's still some cases. I know they're rare and few and far and few between, where you require to put ink on paper, which clogs the system completely.
The way we approached it, because printed copies are often requested, the way we have approached it is by leveraging the professionalism of the translators who we have on board. Acudocs has a mandate to recruit exclusively certified translators. And that's for a number of reasons. One, with that level of professionalism. Two, because they must abide by a code of ethics. And code of ethics requires them to complete the job and treat the customer and adhere to all of the required protocols to complete that job. So when, for example, hard copy is requested by the client, they can choose hard copy for a set fee. The translator will receive that notice that a hard copy is required, print it off in their home office, put it in an envelope. It'll have your letterhead on it as an agency, and they'll send it straight directly through to that customer. Mm-hmm. We have had some LSPs who say, well, you know, what about our branding? It's our customer and so on. But For this service, Robin, it's a single-time customer. Okay, in a blue moon, they might require a 100,000-word document to be translated, but the likelihood of that happening is very, very...
Yeah, they don't have recurrent passports to translate or university CVs to translate. If they're doing that every week, you got to check into them.
Yeah. And so through this process, my goal has always been to really... upscale this revenue stream for certified translators, recognizing that as a professional, the demand for our services is reducing significantly. And if we can make this one service fast and profitable, then it'll benefit the industry as a whole.
Now, how big is the certified translation, do you think, in your opinion?
How big is the certified translation industry?
Yeah.
That's a tricky one because it goes into wherever...
What you're dealing with. I mean, from what you're dealing with. I'm not talking about certified translation for the pharmaceutical sector where you're doing like a drug, drug pamphlet or something like this. That's different. But for business-to-consumer certified translation, how big is it?
We have determined it to be potentially in the billions, right? When you're looking at the global movement, the movement of people globally every year, we're close to 300 million people moving around the globe. If half of those require a translation at roughly $50 a job, you're looking at, $7 billion.
Dylan, because we started the conversation by saying the industry is missing out on this. They don't want them. But when you pull it all together, it's significant, it seems.
And there are a few big players out there who are doing that B2C service. But Acudox is the only one that is, it is open for language companies. It is a tool. We are just the back end. We are a tool for language companies to utilize and offer to this consumer market, which hadn't been done before.
Do you think, Dylan, that we've solved the certified translation, the B2C part of it at scale, or is this is still on a case-by-case basis?
With Acudox?
Yes.
It's on a jurisdictional basis. So customizations need to be made for each jurisdiction. Here in the United States, we're active and processing work regularly. We've solved the issue for Australia and coming into Canada next. But each jurisdiction, Canada, for example, have provincial certifications that are required. And so my job will be to recruit translators onto our platform.
So from there, they will become their own independent business and they will use Acudox as a tool basically in their portfolio of tools that they currently have.
They can use it with their own customers, but we see by far the biggest majority is language services providers utilizing it and the existing translators within the pool of translators on Acudox claiming those jobs as they come through.
Dylan, for those who don't know Acudox, can you, if you don't mind, at least verbally or visually walk us through so we can imagine what a workflow end-to-end look like?
In essence, is an automated workflow with an integrated community of certified translators. So as a language company, you can have a QR code or a link on your website, on your landing page. Do you need a birth certificate translation? Click here. It'll go through to your white labeled version of Acudox. The customer will choose their language, choose the document that requires translation. They'll upload it and then they'll create an account. After that, they will pay for it. And as soon as the payment is made, the job will go straight through to the first available certified translator to claim. Another thing that we have, a unique value proposition of Acudox, is that we believe translators should be paid immediately as well. So as soon as that job is completed, the agency is paid for their margin. The translator receives their payment immediately into their Stripe account, and Acudox takes a small clip of the ticket.
So that's your business model?
Yes.
And so you talked about the unique value proposition. Where does AI sit within all this? I know human is still indispensable, and that's part of the cornerstone of your offer as a technology. You still need those certified translators. Where does AI fit in all this, if any?
AI was tricky because we're exclusively with PII, personally identifiable information.
Yeah. And you don't want to put them on the World Wide Web, that's for sure.
Well, so with this self-service process already designed and a very efficient workflow, we thought, okay, what use does AI have in this situation? And if I was able to reduce the time that a customer was spending doing that self-service process from roughly 2 to 3 minutes to less than 30 seconds, I thought that was an achievement worth going for. And so right now we are using the Claude Sonnet platform to pre-fill the self-service translations for customers. But recognizing also that LLMs are pretty bad at predicting proper nouns, for example, names and so on.
Especially in other languages. That's another question I was going to ask you. Like if you're covering like multiple languages, many of them, then it becomes a little more tough.
Yeah. And so it is only as a guide to the end user or the customer who's pre-filling their own information. It is never designed to be the final translation. So if they are to choose that AI service, they are given informed consent. Do you recognize, you accept that your information will go into our model? It will not be used to train the model, but et cetera, et cetera. When they click that button, okay, our Claude Sonnet iteration will scan it, will pre-fill that information in English, and they will then verify it and check it, edit if necessary before paying and before it going through to the translator to then do that final check.
So I think it's safe to say that the the slice of the pie that you're going after in the industry that we are in, for now at least, it is safe to say that is less impacted by all the AI and the technology that is really chopping at the bit to get at the, you know, the larger pieces of volume out there, try to translate it automatically, try to put everything through some sort of an automated process. It sounds like there are many of those. I mean, there are many top of the pyramid, I call them. Top of the pyramid, meaning that you have, you know, specific type of content that cannot get at by technology at this point. And the only reason probably is you want to stay accurate, you want high quality, and sometimes by policy, you can't use it. Many items there, right? But do you worry about down the road?
Yeah. Where we see ourselves on a non-language, non-localization industry basis is we're effectively DocuSign for high stakes, cross-border, multilingual documents. When AI gets good enough to pre-fill it, you still need that signature at the bottom of the page. And what we are relying on as a moat is government policy. And government policy, as you know, well, it takes years to change, if ever. Feels still that this kind of service for immigration, for legal purposes, there still needs to be a liable human professional somewhere in the loop to say, okay, yes, this is accurate.
100%. And from an economics perspective, from a platform economics perspective, could you talk us through, take an example of a customer or an instance where you deployed it? What was the ROI for whoever was your customer?
I have an interesting story about our very first one-star Trustpilot review, Robin. It was a gentleman, I can say his name was Pierre from Paris. He was flying to Australia. He realized when he got off the plane in Australia, he wanted to hire a van because for French people, it's like a dream to go on Australia on this van holiday around Australia. But the international driving permit in France is free of charge. But because of the French bureaucracy, I understand, it takes a long time to get that international driver's license. So there he was on his way to Australia, doesn't have a translation of his license, gets recommended to use our product. And he uploads it, he pre-fills his information and got it back within 30 seconds. Now, Pierre, he was fuming. He was furious. He's like, this is fake. It's not real. It's impossible. This is an AI generated. It's not real. It's not going to work. And so he left us a one-star review. And there I am. The fans are like, I get notified of these reviews. Normally it's 5, 5, 5. There's a one star. What's going on? I managed to reach out to him and say, no, Pierre. In fact, you did such a good job on your self-service translation that the translator just happened to be sitting in front of the screen when the job came through. And he didn't have to edit anything. So with AccuDocs, when the translation is complete, they click the button and our platform pre-formats the job and sends it straight back to the customer to download. Pierre went and he changed his review from 1 to 5 star. And for the next 3 months, believe it or not, our number one product coming out of AccuDocs were French to English driver's licenses because he had told the whole community. And it wasn't through... I mean, AccuDocs has a demonstration agency just for the purposes of a demonstration, but it was through one of our initial partner agencies, 2M Language Services in Australia.
And that's a very good story, Dylan.
That is the ROI. They get it back faster than they imagine.
And you know what you're covering, which we cover on this channel quite often, is we talk about the industry as an insulated industry by itself, but we always somehow forget, and you reminded us of it today, is the idea that our industry sits at the intersection of everything human. You know, demographics interacting with each other. We are the link between all this. And somehow, like, because we sit and everybody's busy and everybody's trying to do 100 miles a minute, trying to translate, do serve their customers, respond to emails, etc. We tend to forget sometimes whatever we're doing. It's supporting somebody, in this case, an emergency, get a driver's license done. But in a lot of cases, I mean, you're saving life. Like, I interviewed somebody who does interpretation services for immigration and refugees. And these guys have a life and death scenario in some cases. They don't want to back to go to their homeland. And if they explain their situation correctly, if they don't explain the situation correctly, they're going back to their homeland. So what we do and what you do touches human life in a variety of aspects, which is admirable.
Yeah, and you remind me of one of the last interpreting assignments I ever did. So I have done that, and I do avoid them now since these last ones. But the last one was a palliative care assignment where a lady's mother was very close to passing. She was living in Thailand, and our job was to communicate with her maidservant. And yeah, it was touches on the quality of life of people globally, yes.
Let's talk about go-to-market, Dylan, for you and the traction that you're seeing right now in the marketplace. Talk to me a little bit about that. How is the traction in the marketplace?
We enjoy, how do I say, I had one comment from a CEO here in the United States saying, people have been trying to solve this situation for the last 20, 30 years, Dylan, but yours is the first solution that actually works, that is on market and is profitable. So our go-to-market, we're seeing a lot of success with initial adopters here in the United States from companies who focus on other aspects of the translation market, have never really considered approaching the consumer market, but see it as a viable way to diversify their offering. So our main target are language services providers, CEOs. If you want to offer this service to your customers to expand and diversify your service offering, it's no cost to sign up to AccuDocs. We just add a clip of the ticket to the service fee.
And the geography that you're addressing right now, you mentioned the US and Australia, etc. But what about Europe, for instance, where you've got a lot more languages to cover there, right? So in the US, yes. Pretty limited.
In order for us to address the European market as quick as there is demand, also in South America and also in Southeast Asia and so on, we are currently trying to raise money in order for that to happen. So I won't drop names, but two out of the three initial sales calls I did here in the United States ended up with, oh, so Dylan, where do you see your company in the next couple of years?
Well, is that what they do?
We're going this way. And so Gabe went from sales mode to pitch mode and have partially subscribed our current funding round through those conversations, but very, very happy to talk to anyone else who's interested in.
Absolutely. Now, what did you see in terms of adoption hurdles? So normally you talk to a lot of people and men in your position, Dylan, you're talking to prospects and investors all the time. What's the most common adoption hurdle you've heard of?
Honestly, it's not such a hurdle. It's just dealing with the larger the company, the longer it takes to implement.
Or the bureaucracy, you mean?
And so oftentimes it's just setting up a landing page on their website.
Yeah.
Because to make any changes to the website, it takes many, many steps unless the CEO is the one doing the website themselves. So that's been the only real obstacle that we've faced. AccuDocs' business model, like I said, is zero fees up front. Our success is based on the language company's success. And the more volume that they can put through, the more that AccuDocs earns in revenue itself.
You know, one of the things that I always, you know me, I've worked in the industry all my life, pretty much all the life that I remember, right? The life before the industry, I hardly remember. It feels to me like large agencies have a hard time miniaturizing their services. And miniaturizing their services means they have to take large, complex processes, which no CEO of any large company I've heard a proponent of complexity. The CEOs, they come in, they say simplicity, simplifying, reduce the number of processes, etc. But they fail to do that. All of them fail to do that. Bar none. They all fail to do simplification and miniaturizing their services down to the business to consumer level. Nobody wants to do that. And it is costly. And what tend to happen at a large companies in general, like when you're talking about large, very large organization, those mega agencies, as you called them earlier, you know, the 80-20 rules, right? So you are only focused on your top 80% of your energy goes to your top 20 customers. And then it filters from there based on how much revenue each customer is generating. From my perspective, looking at AcuDocs, you've solved the miniaturization problem. And potentially, and I don't know if you agree with that, could be used more than just to sort of, you know, to translate a driver's license. Could be used to do small, short documents, a page, a two, you know, not a million word as you started, Dylan, but could be used to solve those issues for mega agencies too. So what was the reaction from the mega agencies if you ever talked to them?
We have talked to them. And for example, from
hopefully this podcast make them listen a little bit better from the sound of your answer.
Well, I had a talk, this is going back a couple of years now, Zurich. I was at the SlaterCon in Zurich and happened to talk to RWS there.
Okay.
And an inspiring gentleman of the name of John Hart really took me seriously. And
good friend of mine. Tell him I said hello.
John Hart was the president of regulated industries for RWS and is now active as an advisor for AcuDocs. So I think
congratulations
we're talking to the right people. But you're absolutely right. It's because the mega agencies, the large agencies have to integrate with all of their existing systems. And then that becomes a minefield, doesn't it?
So on the case study, I think, or case stories, so some success stories that you've been through, you mentioned the Pierre Traveler. Is there any agency that you've been involved with that you adopted AcuDocs that they had a good success with, Dylan?
Absolutely. We take away the barrier to entry for agencies as well. And I think one of my biggest success stories is a translator in Australia who saw the potential using not only AcuDocs for his own language pair, but registering as an agency on AcuDocs. And he made a very generic name, something like Aussie Translations, and built up a whole lot of traction translating every language into English on that platform. But then he's gone and registered another 24 names of Spanish translations.com.au, French translations, Italian, and so on and so on. And he has quite quickly become the biggest language service provider on our platform. So that is one case. Another case is where we didn't expect to do so well, but had an integration with what's called the Australian Computer Society, who in Australia, they are responsible for assessing skilled migrant visa applications, the credentials. They would, if somebody has a Master of Computer Science from anywhere around the world, this agency is responsible for validating those credentials. But also, a lot of their members and customers will need translation. And so just having a button on their site has allowed us to service, 10 to 100 times the amount of customers through that process as well. So for language companies here, it is more of a diversification of services, allowing them to serve the consumer market, which they hadn't before.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people, obviously, over the years, and some companies, that's just only they do this particular translation, and they have a team of project managers. They've got like a lot of a workflow designed for this, and it's predominantly or pretty much manual workflow. There's no automation to speak of. Even the invoicing, it's in the collection and all that stuff is all done by hand, for the lack of a better word. I was thinking like maybe some of those technology that you're bringing on board, maybe that would be very helpful for some of these.
Absolutely. And going back to, there has been a lot of development on behalf of agencies to try to streamline that service for the project manager. But AcuDocs is the first developed from the translator's perspective to completely replace the project manager.
Mm.
And so we've heard feedback from some of our partners saying that it has reduced overheads by 99% because one project manager all of a sudden can very broadly monitor all of the jobs that are going through. because we put a lot of that responsibility or onus of responsibility on the shoulders of the certified translator, the project manager doesn't have to step in. So that is one great point. But also this reduction and this high-speed turnaround of jobs on the platform is also a benefit as well.
You know, every CEO would hear the word reducing overhead. Probably they're just, you know, jumping up and clicking their heels probably by now. So I guess it's a music to ears of some people that they're listening to this channel by now. Talk to me a little bit, if you don't mind, Dylan, about the roadmap. You know, what's the product roadmap?
So we, like I said, we are preparing to enter Canada. We've got a lot of interest there since going to Gala, since going to the Canadian language industry. Anyone who's got experience with developers, you hear 2 weeks and you think it'll be 2 weeks, but it ends up taking 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. So that is our sad story. We're ready to go there. Our ambition, our enthusiasm is there. Once we've gone into Canada and other English speaking countries, so for translations of every language into English, then we're going to have to start recruiting translators and going into other language combinations as well.
So I am the World Speak 2026 ambassador, and we'll be holding this year's World Speak conference in Gatineau, just in Ottawa, basically across the river on the Quebec side. So I'm hoping to see you there and bring your team with you if you want to. But at least I'll get to see you if yes. You're coming, and welcome you into the Language Industry Association and to Canada in general. So appreciate seeing you again.
Thank you. That would be excellent. And thankfully, that side of the new year, it's not so cold as it might be at around this.
No, they'll be in May, April or May, somewhere around there. You come in the spring. We don't want you to come in now. It's too cold, man. Too cold.
Well, here in Boulder, I have now officially witnessed or felt what it is like to have 0 degrees Fahrenheit. I never thought I would get that cold.
Try minus 28 Fahrenheit.
Now I know what 0 degrees Fahrenheit is in Celsius, because it's negative 18. Wow, I never thought I'd be that cold.
Anecdotally, the other day, I normally don't do this, but in the morning, I don't know what got into me. Maybe I've been in the house for so long, just trying to stay away from the cold. We got 1 meter of snow behind my house, so it's crazy. So I got in the car and I said, okay, Starbucks is not far away from me. I'll go get a tea. So I get in the car and I'm going to get my tea. It was so cold, the car barely ran. And when it ran and I'm driving, the first time I tried to apply the brake, the pedal has frozen. Nothing wrong with the brake, but the pedal has frozen. I tried to press on the brake and the car kept on moving. There is an expensive car right in front of me. I'm afraid of hitting it. So I shifted the car. I turned the wheel, ended up like on the sidewalk. I put the hazard light on and I started pumping the brake. She, you know, waited for the car to warm up, and then all of a sudden back to normal. But it scared the life out of me.
You have to have a thick skin driving in snow. So I wasn't used to that.
Well, you gotta get the right equipment. But I mean, if you can avoid coming to Canada in the winter, don't. I mean, unless you like skiing and stuff. So that's different.
That I'm very new to and have started enjoying thoroughly.
There's a lot of good places to ski in Canada. If you're into winter sport, perfect. Excellent. Now let's talk about some of the challenges. What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up? Look, I fear for the future of the industry. I see...
Why?
Well, hearing from translators, hearing from other freelancers, there has been a massive drop in demand, okay? And the industry itself might be going through a flux, but that is what really drives me, Robin, to try my best to create this platform where they can really try to monetize their skills and their qualifications and make a sizable income from what was a single page document before.
And you pretty much, from my understanding, you bootstrapped the whole thing yourself, right?
Myself and my co-founder, yes.
Yeah. And so are you at an inflection point right now? Are you looking for fundraising or
are you good? Yes, we are fundraising actively at the moment, and have a partially subscribed round that very happy to talk to your listeners to if they're interested. We see our growth just about...
Some of our listeners may be interested in investing. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So Aquinox is ready to grow, ready to expand globally, and inevitably going to be there. The faster we bring these funds in, the faster that growth will occur.
Are you building a little bit of a business development network around Aquinox? Like building some partnerships with immigration platforms, government agencies, large enterprises, visa providers?
We're open to every conversation, recognizing the lean size of our team. We need to focus on where the service is needed most. And the biggest success we've had is with language services providers.
And just some closing questions for you. I won't make it too hard. What is the biggest myth about translation tech you want to dispel today?
You're asking, I'm a published literary and poetry translator.
I know why I asked the question, Dylan.
The reality is that...
I didn't want to put you on the spot. I'm sorry, man.
Translation tech, it does it accurately. Does it have the heart of a translator? Does it have the heart of a writer or of an artist? I am very critical of that. And so if you want to put money on art, you know, is somebody going to buy a computer generated or AI generated art? Yes, there is a market for that. But does it have long lasting value as the sweat, blood and tears of a literary translator working hard days and nights? I'm not sure. So I still think there is a place for a human's involvement in the translation process.
Absolutely. Any other area of AcuDocs that you would like to speak about that I have not covered?
As a tool for translators, inevitably we're going to go up the chain, and who needs these documents the most? We're talking about the government authorities, we're talking about government departments or other, you know, official bodies. And so that is the end game of AcuDocs, to be allowing our partners to be able to take these requests for proposals and take it directly to the government source.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for joining me, Dylan, on behalf of the audience and myself. Thank you for being with me today. Any further comments before we terminate?
I'm happy to teach you some Thai. So to say thank you, you say kok kun ka.
Thank you. I was going to ask you to speak Thai, but I didn't know if you would be comfortable on a podcast, but go ahead. Thank you so much for our Thai listeners. And I know I have a few. This is a treat for you.
Excellent. And yeah, that's all I said. It's been such a pleasure, Robin, and thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Always good to see you. And for the audience, I want to thank you so much for listening in. And if you're coming in on YouTube, thanks for watching us. If you're coming in on the audio streams, thanks for listening in. And if you're reading our blog, I highly encourage you to subscribe to our blog post. We summarize all of these conversations. I put them on our blog post, robinayoub.blog. If you're not subscribed, feel free to subscribe. You stay up to speed. And just in case, if you don't want to listen to 1 hour conversation with me and Dylan, you get the Cole's Note version of that. And then you get all what we talked about in a very short text. So thanks so much again for making us the top conversational podcast in the world. We're ranked among the top 5 authentic conversational podcasts in the world right now. And thank you for that. 2.5 million views every 7 days. I really appreciate that. Those statistics are just making me so smiley right now, because initially when I started this podcast, I was hoping for 10 views. And so I'm very happy with where we are. And all thanks to the guests, such a great guest like Dylan Hartman today from AcuDocs. I really appreciate you joining me, spending some time with me. Welcome to North America, by the way. I forgot. We feel like we're neighbors now. When you were in Australia, it was like too far.
Well, there's a bit less of a lag on our podcast today, so that's good.
That's right. And please feel free to come back to the podcast anytime if you want to do another one in a few months and tell us all the new things that's happening on AcuDocs. Yeah. You know, we do that all the time. People come in the first time and they come back again and they update the listeners on what's happening. So feel free to do that. Happy to the audience, Robin. Thanks so much again. Appreciate it.
If anyone wants to contact me directly, I can be contacted via LinkedIn easily. Just
absolutely. And if anybody wants to reach out to Dylan, don't know how to reach out, Dylan, just reach out to me. You know me, and I'll do the introduction.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. And I'll see you at the next episode. Thanks so much. Dylan, stick around for a second.